It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close for another episode, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name is Jordan Parhar, and I'm here with you live today to recap the latest episode of Big Brother Canada 4 on robhasawebsite.com. Today, I am incredibly lucky because I'm joined by a very good friend of mine, somebody who you will remember from Big Brother Canada 3. She was the last remaining member of the Chop Shop, the last remaining member of the Diaper Alliance, and she was the second runner-up of the season. It's the queen of the veto, Ashley Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Ashley, how are you doing this?
Yay!
Hi! Thanks for that lovely intro, Jordan. Wow.
You're very welcome, Ashley. It's all true things, so I'm just spewing the truth. So there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today. First time on the Happy Hour, so I'm very excited to have you here. I'm sure the audience is as well. And as always, we've got a live feed correspondent here to fill us in on everything that's going on in the feeds. And tonight, that's going to be Brent Walgamont at One Lucky Gay on Twitter. He's here once again. Brent, how are you on this Sunday evening?
Jordan, I feel a cry coming on. Jeez, she's something else, isn't she?
She really is. Nikki Graham. I mean, people were talking about how on the feeds she wasn't really doing too much, but I think she's going to be dynamite in those TRs, so should be entertaining to see how things unfold with the great Nikki Graham. Okay, let me just remind you guys that we are live on robhasawebsite.com, so if you want to send us some questions, make sure you tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. You can use the hashtag RHAP. We can take some of your questions towards the end of the show, or you can leave a comment on the YouTube video as well. That works too. So what we're going to start with today is we're going to recap the latest episode of Big Brother Canada 4, talk about all through that and everything that went down from the HOH and all that kind of stuff, and then we're going to leave off with the nominations, and then we'll jump into the live feed. So Brent will fill us in what's been going on in the feed. So if you don't want spoilers, if you don't want to know what's actually happening currently live, you can skip out on the rest of this episode and come back after the Wednesday episode, but I'll give you guys a fair amount of warning before we get into that. Okay, let's just jump right into this episode. Ashley, okay, right off the bat, we see Tim and Nikki, the two wild cards, entering the BB Can 4 house. What do you think of this twist? Were you excited?
I personally don't know who they are because I've never watched those versions of Big Brother, but I'm super excited, and I feel like if I was in the house just kind of seeing how they've been so far, it's super, super entertaining, and all the downtime you have, you want people like that in there so you don't go crazy. But I do really like the twist. I love it.
Yeah, it's exciting. I found it super interesting to see, the reactions of the house guests. What did you think of? What's your take? Let's talk about these two. I mean, it was completely polar opposites in how they adjusted to being in the house. So if you were in there, Ashley, who do you think you would have really gravitated towards?
Between the two of them, I think more so Tim. And just because I feel like he kind of says it like it is, and he almost made himself come across as more approachable than Nikki did. I feel like Nikki had her whole, like, so overwhelmed episode, and I don't know if I would really know how to approach her necessarily, where I think Tim made it a little bit easier for people to kind of get along with him right off the bat.
Yeah, he... it was so funny too, because even when he's making fun of people, you just can't help but love him, right?
But Christine was sitting there, and he's like, "Oh, this one over here making the face." I loved it. He's just boom, calls people out like it is, and she was just like the whole time, like, "What are you doing, woman? Pretend at least. Come on."
Yeah, it was almost like Christine was making the Neha grumpy cat face when Tim walked in.
It's true.
I was loving the fact that he called her out. Like, I mean, he's like, he's in the house, what, 10 seconds? And he's already like, oh, yo, that one with the scowl over there. I'm like, wow, like, I literally almost fell over. Because it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he's telling the house guests that he doesn't know anything about Big Brother Canada or the way it works. But that's a total sham. I mean, he really knows what's going on. And he's a feisty player.
A very, very feisty player, and we've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, you know, he's going to be like, he's the Australian Dr. Will, and he's so great, but you know what? Tonight, he looked pretty damn good, so, and especially with what we've seen on the feed so far, we can get into that in a little bit with Brent, but yeah, I mean, Tim is, he's looking pretty damn good so far, so I'm excited to see what happens from there. Brent, we haven't talked to you since the wild cards, the announcement that Jace and Veronica did not get into the house. Were you disappointed that those two didn't make it in?
Not at all. I think these were the right two. I think that, you know, this is sort of like in Big Brother All-Stars where the producers had a vote, but they basically knew how the vote was going to go. I think everyone knew how the vote was going to go this time, especially since everybody around the world could vote on this. I mean, people love Tim. I mean, there may be people that would have preferred to have Jace in the house, but he doesn't have any passion behind him. It's like, oh yeah, that guy. We like him. You know what I mean? So the people who you needed to actually physically get online to vote for you, they were Tim voters all the way.
Most definitely. Let's talk about the HOH competition here. And this is the classic comp where you have to answer something and you knock someone out, or you can knock yourself out, or, you know, you can be like Bobby, Ashley, and try to get it wrong but accidentally get it right and then eliminate Cindy. poor Bobby. So for this competition, we saw a few different strategies. We saw Kelsey really go aggressive. She's trying to win every single time, sort of like what you saw from Neha last year in that story time competition, where she's getting every single one right, and she's getting people out time after time after time. But ultimately, she doesn't win the competition. So, Ashley, how do you feel, as a competition beast yourself, what do you think is the best way to approach this type of competition? Because when you were in this one, you made it to the final round, and from what I can recall, I think you only had to answer like one or two times.
Yes, you're right. One or two times. I can see why Kelsey would go really hard, because she was on the block last week, and I feel like her back is kind of against the wall. She's really confused, doesn't really know where people stand. So why wouldn't you kind of? I don't think she has a choice but to kind of go balls to the wall and just kind of give it her all. For the other house guests, I don't know. If you don't feel like you're in trouble yet, I would not recommend showing where you lie. There's so many people right now that are kind of in the middle, I feel like, and just kind of swaying back and forth, that they can get away with that, and I don't think they should necessarily have to. The whole eliminate a player is huge, because people right then and there will know where your loyalties kind of lie, and I feel like it's really, really soon for that.
For sure. And I found it super interesting that Jared won the competition, but I found it interesting that Joel didn't even, he just stood there the entire time and nobody went after him. So Brent, do we feel like Joel is actually in a pretty good spot here moving forward?
I mean, he's in a good spot for now. I think that a few people, including Tim, are on to the fact that Joel is, you know, smarter than he looks, or, you know, he's a better player than maybe you give him credit for. I think he's fine for now, and maybe for even a few weeks. You know, like Rob always says, JP, just go to sleep for the first month of the season and then wake up and start winning. So I have faith that Joel can do it. I'm not the biggest fan of him, because it does seem like he's a little bit he's playing both sides a little bit, and I feel like that's going to catch up with him, as it did catch up with Dallas. But, you know, I don't know if it's a good play, but for now I think he's okay in the middle.
And we'll talk more about Dallas in a little bit. Ashley, we saw in this competition, we saw the only person really, I mean, you talked about that not showing your cards. One guy who really stood out with that was Mitch. Mitch blatantly got the question wrong, because he said, you know what, I'm good. I don't need to be in this competition right now. A lot of people are saying that Mitch is a heavy favorite to win this game. How do you feel about Mitch so far from what you've seen?
I feel like Mitch is in probably one of the best places in the entire house right now. He's similar with Joel, but I feel like when the time comes, he'll be able to have he'll be able to be more social. he'll be able to kind of win people over. I feel like Joel might be a little bit awkward, and I feel like he kind of has to make those relationships now, because I don't know if he'll necessarily be able to wiggle his way down the line. So I think Mitch is in a great position right now. Like, great. I always see him watching other house guests and stuff, and you can see he's always thinking and analyzing, so he seems like a really smart dude.
He really is. I mean, you just watch his YouTube channel, ASAP Science, and you can see, but he's one of those guys who, I mean, a lot of times we see people who, in the real world, have quite a bit of intelligence, and then they go into the house, and then for whatever reason, it just kind of dissipates, but for him, it seems like it's carrying over. And I mean, people might say, oh, JP, you're one of those people. Well, I would argue I'm not even really that smart in real life, but I guess it depends on who you ask. Okay, so Jared wins this head of household. And of course for Levita, she wins HOH last week. She takes a shot at his people, and it seems to always happen this way in Big Brother, right? Like week one, somebody wins HOH, they gun after a person or a pair or something, and then week two, that person that was being targeted happens to win HOH. Brent, why does this keep happening? Because there are so many times we can look back at on Big Brother where this has happened. I mean, you know, Tom in Big Brother Canada 1. I mean, Andrew Gordon early in Big Brother Canada 2.
Rachel Riley.
Yeah. Frank in Big Brother 14. I mean, why does this always happen?
It's the Big Brother gods, and thank God they're up there watching, because seriously, I mean, it provides great television. I mean, can you imagine if Joel was the HOH this week? I mean, seriously, I would not be having as much fun. I love it that a bad player, and I'm going to call it like I see it, Levita is a bad player. I love it that a bad player is getting their comeuppance. I love her as a person, but she misplayed that thing from the beginning. As Rob said on the podcast a couple days ago, you know, I don't understand her position in that. She decided to take a shot at Kelsey, who she knows that Jared is going to be ticked off about, when she said to Jared, okay, you're safe. So if you're going to go after his right-hand girl, he's going to be pissed anyway. Might as well break the deal that you made with him and put him up there. That way you guarantee that Kelsey goes out. Instead, she, you know, classic HOH power trip first week, decided to make a power play without really knowing the people around her, without having the votes lined up, and giving the house a perfect excuse to keep a big target in and evict somebody who was basically non-offensive in Paige, who really got a raw deal out of the whole thing.
Yeah, poor Paige, seriously. Oh. I mean, like, Ashley, weren't you so bummed when Paige left?
I love Paige.
Have you talked to Paige at all
yet? Yeah, she actually messaged me on Twitter yesterday, because she got home yesterday, and she was just kind of saying, like, thanks for all the support and everything. Gave her the whole welcome, but I didn't want to kind of overstep, because I know there's going to be so many, you know, as house guests, being how friendly we are, trying to welcome her.
Bobby. Oh, excuse me.
You read my mind. But, you know, my heart breaks for her. She's so young, a super fan, finally got her opportunity to go on the show, and then just right off the bat. And she wasn't even the target, so that's even more.
Well, I do agree. She made a classic mistake herself, though, by telling Kelsey, oh, I'm the pawn. You know, when she told Kelsey, I mean, I have the gall to say that to the other nominee. Oh, I'm the pawn, by the way. Seriously?
Yeah.
And then, the other thing she didn't do that I felt like she could do, especially given that she's 19 and a little bit fragile, when Levita said to her, I'm going to nominate you as a pawn, she really should have pushed back and said, no, you know, start to bring out the crying, start having a breakdown, you know, no, not me. You know, just if she could have done anything to make Levita feel badly, I think Levita might have nominated somebody else. But Paige basically took her medicine willingly. She said, I mean, like, oh, I don't love it, but that's okay. And she paid the price for it.
Yeah, it's a tough dance to play. I mean, being the, you know, going up as a pawn, because if you are too aggressive, then they might say, then, you know, they can just say, well, you know what, screw you. I'm HOH, so I'm going to do what I want anyway. So it's tough for Paige. I know I've been in that spot before where it's like, excuse me, I kind of volunteered to be a pawn, but I don't really want to be a pawn anymore. Can you kind of help me out and use a veto? And
use the veto, Zach!
and it doesn't work out like that. So, I feel for Paige. But she's great. She's part of the family now. And I hope to hear from her more soon, because she's awesome. And we really do enjoy Paige a lot. Let's talk a little bit more about this Levita and Kelsey thing here. So, we see Levita, you know, she goes up to Jared in this effort to kind of try to, well, first she goes to Kelsey and apologizes to Kelsey. Ashley, what did you think of this strategy by Levita to just say, hey, you know, I know I was trying to get you out last week, but I was honest. I told you to your face that I wanted you gone. Would that work on you?
No. I get what she was trying to do. I understand. She wants to, you know, kind of make amends with Kelsey, but you can't. I feel like she was just so strongly opinionated about getting Kelsey out the first week and just so direct. You can't really come back from that, I don't think. She kind of, that was definitely her one of her biggest downfalls in her game.
Right. JP, by the way, I really thought that Levita played this badly. Seriously. Yes. She was all game to Kelsey. She said, you know, you shouldn't take it personally. It was a game move. I'm trying to play a game. There was no empathy there. There was no consoling there. She should have done this and said, you know, it was a bad call. I'm sorry. I had a bit of a power trip. It was my bad. I screwed up. You know, please forgive me. I love being your friend. You know, and she should have just basically fallen on her knees and said, you know, let's work together, or I mean, let's be friends. You know, eliminate the game part. Just let's be friends and try to resurrect the friendship we had when we first walked in. Instead, she was a game bot, and Kelsey didn't respond to that.
I totally hear you, Brenton. I think that's an excellent point. And I think Ashley is a good person to have on to talk about this, because Ashley, you're somebody who, on your season, you weren't overly you would talk about the game, but the game was not the first thing you would talk about with most people. Mainly, you would have personal conversations with people. Do you think that that's the reason why you managed to make it so far in your season?
I think that is definitely a huge part of it. I feel like a lot of the time people kind of look for a way to escape. And I feel like you did it too, Jordan. I feel like you were you kind of got involved with people. And anytime you talked to them, you'd bring up their family or their people from home. So you were almost like that bridge between Big Brother and the family. Like you sounded like you cared. And I think that's a huge part of it, because a social game is so huge. And if you can't build those relationships with people, good luck.
Right, you know, the week that it was the triple eviction and Ashley, you know, the fans were screaming for Brittany to put up Ashley once Zach came down by Bruno vetoing him, and she did not, even though we all thought that was clearly the right move to make, and the reason was because of Ashley's social game. The social dynamics in the house between her and Brittany were good at that point. They were stable enough where Brittany looks around the room and said, I don't want to nominate her, you know, I want to do somebody else, and that's what saved you that week, and you know, you made it all the way to the final three because of that. That was one move in the house where strictly social play and likability was able to propel you forward.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, Big Brother is a social game. I mean, as much as a lot of people want to go in there and game super hard,
yeah, I know,
it's only a small fraction of what's actually going on in there. And
yes,
if Levita is not trying to get to know Kelsey on a personal level, which she probably didn't, because in her head she was going home, it's going to come back to haunt you in the future. And that looks like that's happening right now. Let's talk about. Okay, well, I'm looking through my notes here. I mean, the big thing, I think, other thing that I wanted to talk about with you, Ashley, that I think that you can really talk about is the idea of this Jared and Kelsey showmance that is blooming here. This, you know, this is something that it's very fast. I mean, we're in week two already, and it seems like these guys have a full-blown showmance. For you on your season, I mean, the showmance helped you quite a bit. I mean, it took you for, you know, you guys had that trust, you had that bond, carried both of you guys deep into the game, but you didn't really go full showmance until, what was it, like week three and a half, four?
Yeah, it was pretty far in. It was quite far in there before we actually started to kind of show, hey.
Right, when Zach had that conversation with me about what the have-not
movement. Oh,
sorry, Ashley.
I turned red.
What I was going to say is, do you think that this is a good idea or a bad idea for them to be so, I mean, and Jared is saying on the show, he's like, oh, you know, I don't like you that much yet, but you know, you love me, and like, this is like not a huge thing yet. But it's just like stupid. It's totally a thing.
It's a thing. Totally is.
So what do you think? Is this good or is this bad? And why or why not?
I feel like it depends on how they end up dealing with this, because I personally think it's way too early to start being all lovey-dovey all over each other. But I feel like some of the reasons why people did not vote Kelsey out was because, hey, they're looking at it from a perspective where Kelsey and Jared can be seen as a target even down the road. So if you can use that excuse saying, oh, yeah, like, keep us around, we'll always be a target, da 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 da, people will keep you around, and maybe far enough till you can kind of slip your way in there closer to the final. So personally, for me, I think it's way too soon, but if they can manipulate it somehow to make it seem like they're targets and to keep them around and it's a good thing, then maybe it can work for them, but that'd be very hard.
Brent, you've been watching the feeds, and without getting too much into the spoilers here, Jared and Kelsey are pretty much they're a thing, right?
Yeah, Jared, Kelsey, and Raul especially are a thing, but Jared and Kelsey together are viewed, I mean, they're viewed as a unit. And I don't see, you know, obviously I don't see that changing very rarely in the Big Brother house. And in fact, I can't think of any example whatsoever where, you know, two people have come together for a showmance and then broken up, you know, in the house. So they're in it for the long haul. Obviously, I don't think it's going to be good for either of their game. You know, it may be that Kelsey is the one who's evicted because, you know, I know that Jared won the competition, but Kelsey was an absolute beast in that competition. She had fire in her eyes too. And she doesn't seem to be able to get along with a lot of the other women. So I don't know. I think that she might be the one to go of the two of them.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. That's threatening. I mean, it's one thing when one of the pair is a really strong player, but it's another thing, or at least in competitions, but when it's another thing when they're both very physically threatening. I mean, look at Brendan and Rachel. I think that's a really good example, is those guys, both times they played, were just such huge targets because they could win at any given competition because of the skill set that they had. Okay, let's wind things up. I mean, we saw the have-not comp today. We saw two competitions, really. We saw the HOH and the have-not comp. So the have-not comps are back. Ashley, are you a fan of the have-not comp? Because I went on Twitter and I said, hey, do we need a have-not comp if we have the HOH comp in the Sunday episode anyway? And I actually had a lot of people say that, no, I really like the have-not competition. I think it's really fun, and I do enjoy seeing it. So what's your stance on that?
I like watching the comps. I think the one today was way more entertaining than the HOH comp. But if they also didn't have the have-not comps, I feel like a lot more playing would be going on, just because obviously the people that you don't want to be strong and you don't want to win, you're going to make them the have-nots. Like, say the HOH was to decide. So I feel like that would definitely add more aspect to actual gameplay, and that could also be more entertaining to watch. So I'm kind of on the fence about the whole thing.
Yeah, could you imagine, I mean, especially with this season right now, the house is so divided. I mean, it would just increase the tension if you could be like, yes, yeah, okay, if Jared wins and he's like, yeah, Levita, Shari, Dallas, Ramsey, Maddie, all of you voted against us this week. You guys are all have-nots. I think that would be a good way to create some more additional animosity and to get some people fighting. There was some talk that maybe people were accidentally just throwing their balloons at people during this thing. Ashley, if you were one of these people throwing the balloons and you were in that competition, would you hit people on purpose?
Hell no, I'd be aiming for those targets. I know what it's like to be on slop, and no one wants to do that, but maybe these guys don't know yet, because obviously it's the first one. But I don't care if it was my worst enemy up there. I'm not going to go be catty and throw my balloons at them. I want to get those targets. No slop.
See, if it was me, I wish we did this comp, because I totally would have just, if it was someone I didn't like especially, I would have just pegged them with the balloons every single time, because it's funny. It's hilarious. I was waiting for Tim to be like, and at the end of the comp, be like, yeah, you know, we could have the opportunity to win this, but I'm just going to throw it and hit Maddie on purpose, because that's what I want to do, and it would be funny. But now he decided to take one for the team. They won the comp. And unfortunately, Joel and his team. Joel, who apparently had to carry his team on his back, even though he was hitting Levita. I love Joel. Isn't he amazing?
Me too. He breaks my heart. He's just so sweet.
He really is the nicest. He's one guy I really do look forward to meeting after the show, because he just seems like such a kind soul. Okay, wrapping things up with the episode, let's talk about the nominations. Ultimately, Jared goes in the direction of LaVita and Shari. LaVita offers Jared 5 weeks of safety if he, and she'll vote the way he tells her to for 5 weeks if he does not put her on the block. Ashley, if you're in Jared's shoes right now, do you take that deal? Let's say you win. When you won HOH last season, Sarah Hanlon comes up to you and offers you that deal. Do you say yes or do you say no?
I personally would say no. That is something so big to offer somebody. And, okay, maybe that'll be true first couple weeks, but there's no way that you can offer that to somebody for 5 weeks in there. Things change all the time, and I think that you'd be super naive to believe that she would actually stick to that. Even though part of her strategy is all these little promises and she wants to keep them, that's not a little promise, first of all. It's huge, and that's way, way too hard to keep. Way too hard.
Yeah. Brent, what was going through your mind when you saw that? Because I imagine you have a funny take on this.
Well, it was completely unbelievable, number one. And I don't really know that Jared gives a damn about, you know, whether or not she can vote the way he wants to. I mean, he has a majority. He does not need her vote. And it's not going to be a lot of use to him that she votes the way that he wants her to if his butt is on the block. What she needed to do was, again, promise him safety and Kelsey as well. Say, you know, for the next 2 weeks, something believable. For the next 2 weeks, if I win HOH, I will not nominate you or Kelsey, and you know that you can take my word based on what happened last week when I could have nominated you and did not because we made a deal. She had to have built on something. Instead, she went off on left field and promised something that, you know, one, is unbelievable, and two, he doesn't give a damn about.
See, what was going through my mind was in this moment was, and again, this is why I'm a terrible Big Brother player, but I was thinking, you know what? LaVita should go up to Jared and be like, hey, you know what? This is what we do. You put me up on the block this week, put me next to Shari or whoever, but we make a secret alliance, and nobody will have any idea that this will work.
You lost me at the whole put me on the block thing, Jordan.
I will never learn. I will never learn. But because if he's going to do it anyway, why not try and make a secret alliance or something to try and give him incentive to keep you around instead of just, you know, making
this
completely... Why?
Because she didn't do that because she doesn't have the social dynamics with him and Kelsey to be able to offer a deal like that. She cannot say with a straight face, I will make an alliance with you and with Kelsey. Because her and Kelsey don't like each other. And I give them credit for at least they're not being fake. I love the fact that, you know, my biggest gripe about Big Brother Canada 3 was the fact that people were fake a lot. Bruno voted against you and then instantly went back to Zach and said, oh, I'm still on your side, when clearly he was not. And I know that's playing the game, but it annoyed the living hell out of me. So these people, you know, I love it that the house is a little broken in two. And, you know, she just said to her face, you know, I don't really like you very much. And LaVita's all like, well, why? You know, it's a big mystery or something. But no, I think that there was no way that can work because they don't have any grounding. There's no foundation there, JP.
Yeah, excellent point, Brent. There you go. And also, nobody is there. My brain is wired differently, I think, than most people. So I think that's kind of why.
Yeah, that sounds like a game bot. That's something LaVita would do, actually. But no, it's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Terrible idea, as per usual from Jordan Parhar. So last thing about this. So these guys go on the block. Shari really gets put in this situation where, you know, she voted against Kelsey, and she's on the other side of the house, but she's trying to kind of distance herself from LaVita, which is fair, because LaVita is a huge target right now. So, but it didn't work for her, obviously, because she goes up on the block. Ashley, you're somebody who, when you played, you were clearly part of several pairs, but outside of the showmance, the big one, I mean, you and Peely were such an obvious pair. Everybody was like, yeah, Ashley and Peely, you guys always hang out, you're best friends, and, and nobody ever did it, but I feel like, actually, or was it during the double were you guys both on the block?
Yes.
So that was towards the end of the game. Is there anything you can do when you're in that spot to separate yourself from your obvious pair? Is there anything that Shari could have done?
I feel like when you associate yourself with somebody, you need to make sure that people don't see you as super threatening. The problem with those two are is they're Sherry's so smart and Levita played so hard, so quick, where everyone kind of just assumed that Peely and I were just da-da-da, like a bunch of airheads. And that was the difference there. So if people are going to see Levita and Sherry as such a powerful couple, I don't feel like there's anything they can do now to kind of dissociate each other. But it's just, yeah, they just played way, 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 way too hard.
Way too fast, LaVita, unfortunately.
Yes.
No longer living LaVita Loca, maybe not. We'll see what happens. But we'll find out at the veto competition this week on Wednesday night if LaVita or Shari can manage to win the POV and take one of themselves off the block. And perhaps things can change. We'll find out then. So we're going to talk about some spoilers right now. We're going to talk about the results of that veto competition. So if you want to know who won the veto and the results of what's happening and all that kind of stuff, stick around. We're going to get into that. But if you do not want any spoilers, now's the time to check out. We'll be back live on Wednesday night after the episode. I will be talking to Kevin Martin from Big Brother Canada 3, fan favorite, and Taryn Armstrong will be with us as well. We're going to break down the episode live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:15 p.m. Pacific, to get into all of that stuff. So don't forget to join us. And also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. You can go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Okay, spoiler time. Brent, let's hear it. What's happening? Who won the veto? Are they using it? What's the situation? Let's get into it.
Well, I wanted to quickly explain to Ashley, by the way. Ashley, Taryn is another feeder, and he's going to be with JP. And he and I have like a little bit of a love-hate relationship. Like he's this younger, like hot, straight version of me. So, and I hate him because he's pretty. So, and you know, he's constantly wrong with what he says, and I try to correct him, but he doesn't listen to me. So anyway, so that's why I was laughing. But I truly do love him. JP, the winner of the Power of Veto is Christine. Believe it or not, I go totally out of left field. Like, how did this happen?
Christine, oh my goodness, wow. So there was that zing in the HOH comp today saying this person's going to clean up the HOH competitions, or actually, no, just the HOH room. But Christine she wins the veto. Amazing. Do we know what this competition was, Brent?
I'm unclear on exactly what the competition is, but I can tell you that apparently it came down to her and LaVita, and the other thing is that she won $10,000 at the Brick. So she got something out of it, at least. They're, you know, Big Brother's stepping up with what they're offering.
There we go. And we know how great the Brick is, Ashley.
Yes, they're lovely.
we love the Brick. They definitely have the best customer service there is in the world. Okay, so Christine wins this POV. Brent, what has been the aftermath of this this win here? Is it LaVita and Shari? Are they going to Christine? Are other people going to Christine? What's the situation been like?
I mean, they've done the requisite, you know, pleading with her, but I mean, she's not going to use the veto. Let's be honest. And it's one of them, you know, barring some twists, which I guess there isn't going to be one since they haven't announced anything. You know, one of them is going to go home. The problem for Shari is that currently LaVita is telling everybody, number one, you should keep Shari and evict me. You know, she should stay here. I'm going to follow my sword. And number two, she's saying, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, I want to go home. You know, after Jared won HOH, she was already saying, I want to go home. I'm tired of this. You know, people don't like me. I don't want to be here. And that, you know, people see that. This happens every season on Big Brother where somebody says, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. And that person starts to look a lot less threatening in the eyes of the other house guests. And I don't feel like Shari, is doing a good enough job of making sure that people know that LaVita is a much stronger player than Shari is from this point of view. She's willing to go balls to the wall, and she will do anything, okay? Shari, if she won HOH, I feel like she'd be more of a consensus builder. I don't feel like she'd go for the dagger, you know, to kill someone. And I feel like LaVita is capable of doing anything. So Shari needs to do a better job of making sure that people know how dangerous it is to keep someone like LaVita, who's willing to do anything in the house, over her, because right now it's looking dicey, and the people are seeing, well, Shari is, you know, the better social player, people like her more, let's evict her instead and keep LaVita around. So I'm worried about where things stand right now. It's still up in the air, but it's dicey.
Interesting. Now, Ashley, if you're in there, which way are you leaning? Would you want to get rid of Levita, or would you want to, who has shown that, yes, she is probably the more aggressive player, but maybe probably the worst player, just of the two at least, just based on her being open like a book and what she did in that first week, or Shari, who, you know, everyone gets along with her, all that kind of stuff.
From a game standpoint, I would probably vote out Shari just because she scares me on how strategic I think she could be. I feel like she almost reminds me a little bit of Sarah in her game and how intelligent she's going to be. But the fact that Levita's just saying things like, I don't want to be here, and it just makes me angry. Go home. Like, that annoys me.
Well, so do we think that this is legit? Is she saying, I actually want to go home because she is upset? Or do we think she's taking the Jinja Ninja strategy approach, saying, bro, self-evict me, I'm done, I don't want to play this game anymore? What do you think?
Well,
go ahead, Ashley. No.
Sorry, the fact that she was saying it to Shari too, one of her friends, it's almost like that was a conversation that was like a genuine, you know, I don't want to be here, I want to go home. Then there's no game there because you're on the block with her, there's nothing really Shari can do with that, but it just bugs me. People would die to be there, and she's, I don't know. It just annoys me a little bit.
Yeah, Brent, is that basic? So you would agree with that? You think it seems pretty legit?
Yeah, she's just throwing a pity party. I mean, let's be honest. She was on a complete power trip the first week. She was the queen bee. You know, not that queen bee. We're talking about, you know, not Brittany. We're talking about her. And she had it her way. People were kissing her ring, coming up to her HOH room, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, she gets the rug pulled out from under her, and of course, you know, no one likes that. She's feeling really bad, and I agree with Ashley, there's not really any strategy behind it, although it may work to her advantage, because people hear that, and they want to keep her around just because she's so like, oh, I want to go home. But let me tell you, that girl wins one competition, she's going to be back like that. I mean, do not believe for a second that she will just lie down and, you know, fade back into the woodwork. That is not who she is.
This is interesting. I mean, I kind of want Levita. I mean, I think Shari is probably the better player, but I think that Levita is definitely going to be the more entertaining of the two.
Yeah, and better TV.
Levita has shown she's got potential. I mean, she's got some good ideas. It's just her execution was a little bit poor that first week. So maybe she can learn from that and move forward here. Quickly, Ashley, let's rank for me the first HOHs of all time in Big Brother Canada. Who would you say is the best player, and who would you say is the worst, 1 to 4? So one is Suzette, 2 is Paul Jackson, 3 is our entire season, but we'll just say it was Greg, because basically Greg was calling the shots. And number 4 is Levita.
So I'm supposed to rank them 1 to 4, 1 being the best, 4 being the worst, on how they dealt with their first HOH?
Yeah, or the game, or however you want to rank them.
Okay, this is very hard. Number 1, I'm going to give it to, believe it or not, I think I got to give it to Suzette.
Suzette?
Just because she went after 2 really big guys really quick, and that's usually what people want to do. She can justify it easily, so I got to, because she put up Tom and Emmett, right?
Yeah, right. That's right.
See, I think that was a good idea.
It's hard though, right? Because they all screwed up so bad.
The way they all had really good ideas, but the way they actually ended up like executing them just not so well.
JP, wasn't Bobby the
first?
Well,
Bobby was technically the first HOH.
Okay.
But week 1 of our season was, right, it was everyone was the HOH. So that's why I went in that direction. But if we're going in that direction, I mean, I feel like Bobby's got to be number 1, right, Ashley?
Yes, 100%.
So Bobby 1, you're saying Suzette's 2, and then who? It's a very tough rank. It's down to PJ, my homeboy, or Levita.
Who did Paul put up?
Paul put up Andrew Gordon and a Nick. And then Andrew won the veto, and then Aiko went up in his place.
I'm going to go... Oh, yeah, there was that big, huge fight and stuff, too, with
Andrew. Yeah, dude!
Okay. Yeah, I gotta put, I'm sorry, Paul's gotta be last.
Oh no, Paul's last?
I'm sorry.
Oh no, oh
I'm
no.
I'm sorry.
How dare you,
I know
Ashley.
You love him.
How
I'm
dare
sorry.
You put Poppin' Paul Jackson at last on any list. Ew. Paul, you know you're number one in my heart, baby.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Yeah. I would put Paul last as well, because Levita, for all of her faults, you know, she does have followers, JP. Believe
yes,
it or not.
Right?
She has people who are on her side.
That's important, and I think that's why I almost would put I would put her ahead of Suzette, and I mean Bobby had the chop shop and everything, so I guess Bobby by default he walked away with from it the best, but I would still say that Levita did okay. I mean I shouldn't say okay. Of all of them though, she did like it's respectable
right.
because she got a crew, she got from some friends out of it. Suzette did not get that. Paul Jackson. Kind of got that, but not really.
Two people, one view, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so Paul Jackson started from the bottom, still at the bottom. Gotta love Paul. Okay, Brent, other big thing we got to talk about is there was some talk last night. I mean, well, this morning I saw on the feeds Cassandra was talking about maybe trying to swing something to get Christine to use the veto to get Dallas on the block. Now, that all started from this big, huge blow-up yesterday on the feeds last night from Dallas himself. So, Brent, walk us through that. What exactly happened?
Well, this all goes back to Dallas voting to evict Kelsey. And you know, as we know, generally, except for that crazy week that you guys had where you had to write it on a piece of paper, you know, votes are confidential in the diary room. So he's telling everybody that it wasn't him. That, you know, first of all, he's playing badly because he's trying to have it both ways. He's telling his alliance, I voted with you guys, I kept my word. And on the other hand, he's telling the rest of the House, no, it wasn't me. So he's an idiot if he thinks that those people aren't going to talk, okay? He's trying to blame it on Cassandra and say that she was the one who voted to evict Kelsey. And people weren't buying it. And Ramsey said more than he should have said. He basically said that, you know, it was either Cassandra or Dallas. People were already suspecting that Dallas was the fourth vote. And then Jared cornered him in the HOH room and said, you know, we need to talk about this. And Ramsey was up there with him and, you know, were you the fourth vote to evict? And he's still denying it. And he said, well, we know it was you. And you should just come clean with it right now. And Dallas said, well, Ramsey, can you step out real quick? So he basically kicked him, his own alliance member, he kicked him out of the HOH room. Then he came clean to Jared that, yes, it was me. He says to Kelsey, yes, I voted to evict you. But I did it because I kept my word, and I knew the vote was going to be 7-4, and I was actually working to make sure that you were safe, which is a total lie. That is not true. He was not working to make sure she was safe, and he did not know that the vote was going to be 7-4. So, it ends up that Dallas is a legend in his own mind, okay? He thinks that he played this so perfectly that, you know, no one could have ever suspected that he was the fourth vote to evict Kelsey. And he is convinced that it was Ramsey who sold him out. And it is not true. I mean, Ramsey maybe said a morsel more than what he should have said, which was nothing, as Alex Kidwell, one of our live feed correspondents, said on Twitter. But it wasn't him. It was Dallas's own bad playing, and he's having trouble wrapping his head around that.
Yeah, well, so let me get this straight. So Ramsey, when Jared talked to him, Ramsey said, well, it was either Dallas or Cassandra. That's what Ramsey said?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I think, yeah. So basically, yeah, Ramsey, he kind of gave him a little bit of info, but not quite. But here's the thing,
right,
too, is that, you know, that Dallas doesn't know, but that a lot of the people in the House know. And I don't know if everyone knows this listening or watching this right now, but apparently, according to my sources, also known my sources, a.k.a. Bruno Schefter, Bruno Aiello from Big Brother Canada 3, apparently Jared and Cassandra knew each other before this season, and on the first night they took each other, they ran upstairs in the House and they pulled each other aside and they said, hey guys, or they just said, hey, like, we can't tell anyone we know each other, let's play it cool. And they both were like, okay, sounds good. And then they went their separate ways. We haven't seen it come up yet on the feeds, have we, Brent?
I have not seen any evidence of it, but how close are they, by the way? I mean, like, how well did they know each other?
See,
like,
that's
a friend
the thing.
Of a friend?
That, yeah, see, that is unclear. From what I heard, they just said, we can't say that we know each other, and that was basically it. I feel like it would be, and I don't know, Ashley, I mean, let's just use an example, right? Like, if you went into last season and your friend Rachel was in the house, it would be pretty hard to hide the fact that you guys were BFFs, right?
Oh, 100%.
So I feel like they probably know each other, or they're like friends of a friend, or something, or maybe, I don't know, they cross paths at some point, but based on the fact that they're not, like, together all the time, I feel like that tells me that they're not, like, BFFs. So I guess we'll see after the season. We'll have to talk to them and figure that out, but it's an interesting wrinkle, and just based on that, Jared was able to figure out, okay, well, definitely it wasn't Cassandra, because she's with me 100%. I mean, if you know somebody who's in there before you even play, you're going to have their back. I mean, that's something
huge.
Right? That is so imperative.
I will say this, though, that they're not apparently so close in that Cassandra believes that she's the fourth wheel in the Jared, Kelsey, Raul alliance, which they have an alliance called, I think, the third wheel. That's what it's called.
Yes, the third wheel.
So Cassandra, you know, she doesn't view herself as number three. She views herself as number four. So, you know, yeah, they may have known each other, but I think that trust only goes so far, because she doesn't feel like she's that close to Jared.
Interesting. And yeah, I've seen, like, that Mitch apparently is in with those guys too. So it's very confusing. The last time that I really tried to, you know, unpack this, there wasn't really any set alliances, if you will. There's the third wheel, and there's, you know, Levita's group, and then there's the unofficial alliance of people, the alliance of convenience, that all voted against Levita's side of the house. Brent, since the vote, has it become more clear? Have there been more defined alliances? Have they been made yet, or no? Is this still kind of up in the air a little bit?
It's still up in the air a little bit. There is no, they haven't made a Chop Shop or a Bomb Squad or anything like that. Moving company, you know, nobody. there's nothing there in terms of, you know, let's all get together and protect each other, which is actually a bit intriguing, because, you know, the past few seasons of Big Brother Canada and of Big Brother United States, there have been these big alliances that have taken control of the house, and it, you know, invariably it seems like somebody within that alliance wins HOH the next week, and then you're sort of like, yeah, it's going to be a boring week. So I like that the house is very fluid right now. There are some people, obviously, like Maddie, Levita, Shari on, and even maybe Ramsey to a lesser extent on, you know, the one side of the house, who definitely do not like, you know, Kelsey, Jared, Raul, you know, they're far apart, but everybody else, I would put them more, they're mushy. They're like a mushy Republican at this point. They can vote whichever way they want.
They can vote whichever way they want. Ashley, are you a fan of seeing this so far? Do you like this, or would you rather see more of the chop shops of the world being formed?
Watching it, I feel like it's much more entertaining, much more exciting, like Brent was saying, because week to week, you're not entirely sure exactly what's going to happen, whereas with us, if somebody from the alliance had won, it was pretty obvious who might have gone up, but if I was a player, obviously I'd want there to be more, you know, this side, it just kind of gives you some sanity, I guess, just knowing where you stand with people, compared to like, oh, where the heck is that person, or where the heck is that person, I'd probably go crazy.
Yeah, I think, too, also, because it's early, I think that if we give it some more time, I think that these sides will kind of officially, I don't know, they'll make it a real thing. And a lot of times, I mean, these alliances are formed because people are, you know, they genuinely like people. I mean, Ashley, right? The diaper alliance last season. We wouldn't have been in an alliance together unless we were really good friends. We just really got along, and that's why we...
natural attraction.
But we didn't form right away, because you had the Chop Shop, and there's, you know, certain, a lot of times you have these bros and Greg and whoever saying like, hey bro, gotta be in this alliance, man. And you're like, oh, okay. But then as you know play the game, you start to realize, oh, okay, like, let me go with people who I have built genuine social relationships with. Brent, anything you want to talk about from the feeds that we haven't got into yet before we get into the questions quickly?
Well, the thing about two things. Number one, you know, somebody we haven't talked about tonight is the brothers. I think it's amazing that they were all in that first episode, and now they've somehow successfully, you know, faded back into the woodwork a little bit. And I actually give them a lot of credit, because it did not look good in the beginning, especially them being isolated that first night. But they've been able to. I mean, I think, you know, Levita and some other people are not exactly happy with them about switching their votes. But nevertheless, they seem to be on good terms with everybody. And I was down on this twist at the very, very beginning, but having seen it in practice, I actually like it. And I like the fact that they only have one vote because it lessens their target. You know, at first I thought, oh, they're clearly a big target, but, you know, only one of them can compete and only one of them can vote. So, you know, there's nothing there. They're just like everybody else. And the other thing about Dallas is that he said earlier on the feed today that, or maybe it was last night, the days blend together, that he's so mad at Ramsey right now, even though he shouldn't be. And Shari has even tried to come to him and say, you know, it wasn't Ramsey, I believe him, you know, it wasn't him that really sold you out. Because the whole thing about it being Cassandra or Dallas, that was in the universe already. It wasn't like, you know, Ramsey gave something big away by saying that. Dallas is saying that if he was HOH, and I don't know why he's saying this before the veto has been used, that Jared is in the most powerful position in the House, you know, socially, which is something bad to say. And he also said that he would nominate Ramsey and the brothers for nominations, even though Ramsey's in his own alliance. He can't see through his own pride at this point. As Taryn said on Twitter, he's a genius in his own head. He just thinks he's so brilliant that his plan must have been derailed by someone else. It wasn't him.
Oh no! Is this Devin bro all over again? With
a little bit. Over? Yeah, a little bit actually. Oh, no. That's a good comparison actually. Oh, he's man. Just his mind is constantly working, constantly gaming, constantly talking. He's got a filthy mouth. Big Brother actually had to call him out earlier on the feeds today because he said that Maddie, again, someone who's in his own alliance, Maddie is a bleep. And it was a really bad word.
No, like a see you next Tuesday?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
He said that?
Yeah. Sorry, it took me a second. I never heard see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what he called her, yeah.
And he's just like this 24/7.
Yeah.
On the feeds, I'm like, bro, close your mouth.
And put a shirt on. Jeez.
Hey, Brent, I didn't hear you saying that about Jared or anything.
Oh, you were going to say Zach. Yeah. I never said that about Zach either. Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. No, you don't need a shirt. You know, Jared ripped his pants yesterday, and I went on Twitter and said, yes!
Rip more!
Those are gone. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Big Brother Gods. Yeah.
Oh geez, well Dallas with the language and the lip smacking. Actually, now I know why they don't let us have gum in the house, because that would be me, because I chew gum all the time and I feel like people would be like, oh. I mean, there are many things I'm sure I did that were very annoying for people watching, including, you know, this
and
kick my glasses, you know, and the various other things. But right. That's neither here nor there.
Long story short, Dallas is a horrible player. He is horrible. Horrible. I might actually think he's the worst person in the house, and that includes Levita, who I think is playing terrible at this point.
Yeah, you know what? Again, Levita, I think Levita's got some good ideas. It's just the execution is poor. I think that if Levita were maybe to, you know, reflect and look back on this season and go back and play again, I think she'd have some potential. Although, mind you, I think everybody would do better, but that's interesting. Maybe I will see Dallas on Big Brother Canada 33, worst players of all time. It should be a fun season when we're together. But yeah, I was saying, you know, Willow was calling him hashtag Daddy Dallas in the preseason. Now, I don't know, do we call him Dallas Bro or a Dallas Shepherd, maybe, after his buddy Devin? Who knows? We'll have to work on that. Let's get into some of your questions to wrap things up for tonight. Okay, so here's one I've got here. This is interesting. I really like this one. This one's from our good buddy Edward Morris. He says, "Hey Ashley, what would your roast tweet be about yourself?"
My roast tweet about myself? Oh no. Oh no.
Oh yes. Thinking of that. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. If you have it, go ahead.
No, I don't have it. I'm not creative with this stuff. Okay, give me some time here.
Okay, Ashley, think about it, and Brent, you hop in. You've got something else.
While she is thinking about that, let me tell you that I loved this competition. I know some of the answers were a little bit straightforward, but I love the fact that they basically had the fans come on to Twitter and troll the Big Brother house guests and then used those trolls in questions that you got to hear about what the public is saying about you. That's such great fun. And some of the stuff they said, like what the thing that they said about Dallas, about he's the life of the party, or or he thinks he is, or whatever they said. I can't even remember what the tweet was.
And I think that tweet was from Peter Brown, too.
Oh, was it?
I remember Peter saying, tweeting something along those lines. So shout out to Pete for that. But yeah, interesting.
I loved it. Yeah.
I really liked it, too. But the thing that bugs me is that we didn't have feeds on yet. It would have been great if we could have waited like 2 weeks for this and then had the fans rip them on with the roast thing. Because could you imagine if on BB17 there were ones about like Austin smelling bad and stuff like that? I mean, that would have been hilarious. It would have been so funny. But we didn't get that because there were no feeds before this happens. Okay, right. Ashley, did you come up with the roast?
No, I can't think. There's so many things that I know I could probably be roasted about. It's hard to pick one and narrow it down. Can I open the floor to one of you guys to roast me?
Okay, Brent, I'll leave it to you.
I'm literally asking for it.
Okay, Brent, roast Ashley and roast me as well, because I think this will be good.
Oh, I don't know that I can, actually. I mean, the whole thing about Ashley is that I always called her the brains of the operation, so I don't know that I can really roast her, because, I mean, like, I remember her and Zach in the bathtub together, and she's giving some really good advice to Zach about what he should do and how dangerous Sarah and Brittany are, and Zach is basically like, yeah. I mean, I love Zach, don't get me wrong, but, you know, and I also rank Zach highly on my list of best Big Brother players never to win.
You did?
Yes, exactly. But, yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot to pick on about Ashley. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to pick on about, like, you know, Sarah with the pot, or, you know, Brittany with the modeling, or Kevin with the poker, or, you know, you with the self-eviction, or, you know, whatever. But that was a little bit of a slam there, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, sorry, Edmo. We didn't really get Ashley to rip herself, but there we go. Maybe on Twitter, if you guys have some ideas, you can tweet Ashley and I and let us know. I mean, Ashley, we got somebody tweeting me after I tweeted out the link for this show. I'm sure you saw it.
They said, yes. They
were like, nobody cares what you guys have to think because you're horrible at the game. And I was like, I have no comeback to that.
At least we got to be in the house. That's all I have to say. Yeah, when people say that kind of stuff, I'm like, come on.
Ashley was a number away from winning the game. I mean, come on. Hush. Stop it.
Yeah. It happens. That's Twitter for you. Okay, here's another one. Here we go. Zach from Zach Vossler, he says, as someone who was also paired with a male house guest fairly early in the season but was able to play her own separate game as well, what does Ashley have to say about Kelsey's game so far?
First of all, thank you for that, because a lot of people do not give me credit for being able to play my own game, so that's greatly appreciated. And I feel like Kelsey is doing very well because she isn't necessarily just 100% gluing herself to Jared. She is being flirtatious with Philip. She's got Raul. So she's not just like limiting herself just to Jared. She's making sure that she's playing her whole flirt card, which is what I wanted to do when I was going into the house. But I could not kind of push past my comfort zone and really flirt with more than just, you know, one. So good for her, first of all. I think she's playing great.
If only, we had, like, Ashley Wood in, like, 5 years from then. Like, if it was you when you were, like, 26, yeah. If you were Kelsey's age, I totally think you would have done that. And then, yeah, you would have been the one coming in the house and you know, being like, yeah, JP, I'll be in a showmance with you. And then, meanwhile, behind my back, you'd be voting me out.
I couldn't do that to you, Jordan. Never.
I appreciate it, Ashley. Okay, here we go. Two more questions. This one comes from Samantha Alexander. Ashley, who do you believe is playing the best game so far?
Like I said before, just from the little bit I have watched of live feeds and everything, I do feel like Mitch is in a really, really great place. He's kind of stepped back. He might be leading towards the whole Kelsey Jared side, which is good, because I feel like right now they're a little bit higher up there, but he still kind of isn't completely closed off to working the other side of the house, and I feel like he's very smart and analyzing everything. So I feel like Mitch has a real potential.
Brent, you've been paying a close eye to the feeds. Who do you think is playing the best game right now?
Oh, gosh. I think I really like what I see from Tim, and I'm really surprised that I'm saying that. You know, by the way, Mitch is the guy that I have in my Big Brother fantasy draft, so I'm totally rooting for him. I picked him number one. I had the number one pick, and I picked him. So I think, I hope Mitch does great, and I think he's going to do great. But I really like what I see from Tim, because he seems to have a good – he's likable. He's grounded. He doesn't seem like – like, you wouldn't talk to him and think that he's lying to you at any point. And he clearly is. He's lying to them about how much he knows about Big Brother Canada. So I really like Tim's position, and I think he's doing a good job, amazingly, in convincing the rest of the House. You know, we're the wild cards. We're just here to support you. I don't want Canadian money. I'm here for the experience. You know, I think they're actually buying that, and I think Nikki and Tim could stick around for a long time.
I'm with you. Beforehand, I didn't think that, but Nikki, I don't think he's threatening to people, and Tim, the guy is just so freaking likable. You can't help but love that dude.
It's huge because he is so strategic, but he also plays it off with his humor. He always brings humor into it, so people kind of just, they'll kind of listen. They say that you can make someone laugh, you can make him do anything, and I think that he's doing so good with that.
And also, too, he doesn't look like he's a gamer, per se. He looks like a guy who's just like, hey, I'm here to have a fun time, and I won a popularity contest, but I can't really win a strategy game, whereas in reality, the guy's done his homework, so it should be fun. Okay, last question. This one is for Ashley. Ashley, what speech did you have planned for the final two? And do you think you could have beaten Godfrey Manguiza, the Lady Pleaser, in a jury vote? That's from Justin Feinberg.
Well, that's quite the question. My final speech had a lot to do with, I knew that people were going to say that I wasn't deserved to win because of the whole tie I had with Zach. However, my speech was basically just really emphasizing on the font, like the HOH I won, and then the POV, then the POV, then the POV. That was what I was just really trying to go for, but I've just kind of erased that speech from my memory because it brings up some really sad, horrible flashbacks. Anyways, against Godfrey, I think there was potential that I could have maybe snatched it from him. But I think Sarah obviously was way more likely to win against either one of us, but I think I could have maybe won against Godfrey. I don't know, Jordan, what do you think? You were there. Or Brent, what were you going to say?
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, if you ever feel like you have horrible memories, you really shouldn't, because, you know, Ashley, you almost won the show in spite of everything going against you. I mean, you know, they had a little bit of horrible luck, Brittany winning that triple eviction, and then the twist that came down the line, which definitely took out allies of yours. I'd really like to see what the game looked like, you know, without those coming into play, and even without all of that, or even with all of that, you still came within one question of, you know, potentially winning the game, depending on how the vote goes against Godfrey. And I do think you could have taken that vote if you would have gone to the jury and said, look, you know, I fought against these things that happened to me. All this stuff happened to me in the House. It wasn't about Zach. It was about me. I was the brains of the operation. I really think you need to, you know, own your game and tell the other House guests, you know, you may have thought you knew what was going on, but this is what was really happening. And not only that, you know, I won veto at Final 6, Final 5, Final 4, saved myself 3 times. You know, you have to give me the money. I think that's the kind of speech you give.
Yeah, it would have been really interesting to see, and it would have been close. I think my vote not counting, Ashley, I think that
I
ultimately would have been the swing in you losing to Godfrey, if that's the case. Against Sarah, I haven't even really thought about that too much, just because I just didn't ever think that you would take Sarah, and I always kind of thought Sarah would take Godfrey. So, it's another conversation for another day. I did a podcast with Godfrey Manguiza recapping Big Brother Canada 3 earlier in February. So if you want to go check that out, go to robinswebsite.com, and you just type in Godfrey Manguiza in the search. That'll come up. But maybe Ashley and I will do that someday, and we'll break down her game, and we'll go over everything again and bring up all these bad memories. Sorry, Ashley. I had to bring it up. Okay, before we get out of here, Brent, right now, prediction for Thursday night, who's walking out the door and what's the vote going to be?
I feel like Kelsey will get her way. I think she wants LaVita out, and I do think LaVita's going to be ultimately evicted.
Okay, so there we have it. So Brent's calling his shot on Sunday night at 9:21 p.m. Eastern time. LaVita looks like she's going to be going home, but there's still time. Maybe she can turn it around. We'll see.
Right.
It should be entertaining to watch. It's been a great season so far.
Right.
So
can I say something really quickly, just about 10 seconds? The one thing that both of these nominees need to do is stop scolding the voters. They're basically telling everybody in the House, you know, like, you didn't keep your word. Why didn't you keep your word? And, you know, these people are going to be voting to evict you or another person. And the other thing is that LaVita and Shari, to a lesser extent, are basically campaigning against themselves. They're like, oh, she's so nice. You know, Levita especially is like, you know, you need to, Shari needs to stay in the house. What? You just met this person like a week ago. Like, you're giving up your shot at $100,000 to save her? I know you feel badly that she's nominated with you, but you can't do that. Big Brother is not a team sport. Only one person wins, unless you're the brothers.
Unless you're the brothers. Okay, and Taryn Armstrong in the chat is saying he thinks Sherry's out, or Shari's out, sorry. So we'll see. It looks like it's going to be close either way.
Right,
so it is dicey, and I do hear you. Scolding people for future Big Brother players, never, ever scold people about something like that. I mean, that's the last thing that people want to hear. But anyway, maybe we'll do another podcast about that in the I don't know when the Big Brother off season is, Brent, but when there is a Big Brother off season, we'll do a podcast on that, on things not to do when playing Big Brother Canada or US. Okay, guys, we need a hashtag for this episode. People in the chat, if you guys want to give us some suggestions as to what you think the hashtag should be, that would be greatly appreciated. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking maybe like hashtag Dallas Bro, because basically, you know, we talked about how he's like Devin.
Right.
I feel like that's probably the early front runner for
you
me.
You can think about that. Well, I have my my slam for Ashley would be I've always said that Ashley and Zach were sharing a brain in the Big Brother house, but after Ashley's performance in that competition, it looks like Zach kept possession of it after he was evicted.
Zing!
Zing! There
job.
You go.
Good
there
job.
We go. Edward Morris is saying hashtag see you next Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
No, we don't really want to bring light to that. So we'll go. Megan saying hashtag Brent hates Taryn. I think that's a great one. we could honestly do that on any podcast. So,
right. Yeah, I don't know that it's indicative of this podcast.
No, definitely not. So let's go with hashtag Dallas Bro. All right.
Dallas
so
Bro.
Guys, Brent, thank you for joining me. Thank you for giving us your time. And Ashley, thank you so much for taking
thank
the time
you.
Out of your Sunday and your napping regimen to join us this evening. Greatly, greatly appreciated. And thank you to all of you guys watching. I mean, it really means a lot, you guys checking out this show and supporting me. It really means a lot. If you want to support the Rehappy Hour, there's a few things you can do. One, you can go to robinswebsite.com/rehappyhour and you could subscribe to the podcast. Or you can also subscribe to Reality TV Rehapups. That helps us as well. So go to robinswebsite.com/rehapups. And the second thing you can do is leave a star rating and review for my podcast. So that helps people find the show and helps it grow. And in order to give you guys incentive to do that, I'm going to be offering a gift, a Jordan Parhar related gift to one person at the end of the season. So every single person that leaves a review, I'm going to put your names in a hat. I'm going to pull one out. You are going to win that prize. But, you know, I have said this before. I've done this twice. I've said, hey, I'm going to do a Skype call or I'm going to do this thing. And for certain reasons, I wasn't able to do that. So I will be not giving out just one prize, but three prizes, because I've said two other times already that I will be doing something. So three prizes are up for grabs. If you've already left a review, your name is in the hat, so you're safe. You don't have to do anything. But if you're new to the podcast, you're new to the show, go leave a review. You might win a prize from me. And, yeah, let me know what you think. And leave some comments as well on robinswebsite.com. Let us know what we can be doing to make the show better for you guys. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. For Ashley Wood and Brent Walgamont, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Dallas Bro. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.